Detective John.
Lieutenant Nicholas.
We got another body, and I think it might be our serial killer. And I know we've been chasing this for a long time, but we really got to nail this one down. It's very close to becoming a cold case. It's another John Doe, but if you can find any leads, send them my way.
Snap, crackle, and pop, it's the Rice Krispie Brothers.
Dear God, and this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we answer the questions that you think about asking but you don't have the courage to. So then you say, well, maybe I'll listen to other people talk about it.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Vegan.
And today we've got the fun topic of serial killers.
Yep. Non-controversial.
Non-controversial.
Happy and fun.
Happy and fun. I'm sure you'll have plenty of jokes lined up for today's episode, John.
Yep. I've got a whole bunch of cruncha bunch berries.
Yeah.
Lined up and ready to smunch in your mouth.
You know what's hot, John?
Yeah.
What?
Lots of things, Nick. Are we going to go through a list, or are you going to tell me?
Start listing them off.
What was it, like 27 Kelvin? I don't know the measure. The hunt, the sun.
27 Kelvin's like almost
the sun's
absolute
hot.
Zero.
Parachute pants used to be. You're saying currently, though. So.
Yeah, currently. How about true crime?
Oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah, right now, there's a ton of true crime things going on right now. Like, the podcasts have been popular for a long time, but there's all these documentaries popping up on Netflix and Hulu. I saw one on ABC the other day. Have you, like, watched any of the Ted Bundy ones that are out right now?
I haven't.
They're, like, the hot new thing, because, like, Zac Efron's playing Ted Bundy in a movie, which is gross. And we'll talk about it later on. But, you know, Ted Bundy was a charismatic guy. He blended into society really well and got away with his murders for a really long time. And I think the reason I think Zac Efron is disgusting is because we've talked, me and Phil talked about this back in October month. Did I say that right?
October month. Okay. You were close.
All serial killers are losers, and Zac Efron playing Ted Bundy propagates this idea of the sexy serial killer, which
he's so edgy
and he's so sexy.
He's as edgy as the tip of his knife.
You've heard this joke before because I made it when like the trailer came out, but I was like, Zac Efron went from beefcake to bund cake. Didn't even encourage me.
I didn't hear that. That was beautiful.
So
wow. When you said I heard that, because you said it when it came out, was that like, did you have an audience when you said that out loud? Was there a moment that you can remember saying that?
Yeah, I said it to my family, and then I typed it to you and a few other people.
Oh, God, I wasn't there, was I?
No, I guess not. You weren't paying attention. But anyway, either way, I think that the reason I bring Ted Bundy up is because I think that's where we got our topic today. I think it's been on a lot of people's mind, and that's where on our Facebook page, Hillary put on our survey, how do serial killers blend into society and get away with it for so long?
Yep.
And I'm sure she was thinking about Ted Bundy or something, and I wanted to know.
Well, she's obsessed, and she got tattoos and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like into the macabre. But I wanted to know how serial killers blend into society, but the answer to that is kind of short. So we're just going to talk about the psychology of serial killers for a really long time.
Okay.
John, how many active serial killers do you think are out there in the U.S. right now?
Active?
And yes, and before I let you answer, let me give you the FBI's definition of a serial killer.
Okay.
A serial killer is someone who commits two or more murders with a rest period in between the two acts. So basically, not a mass murderer, like someone who goes and shoots up a place and kills more than two people or two or more people. It's they go and kill a number of people, and then on a separate event, they go and kill another number of people. That is a serial killer.
Whew, I mean,
let me also say, other definitions will be given, like they have to have some sort of MO or trademark or something, or that's not really required for a serial killer definition. So broadly speaking, and given that there are 326 million people in the United States, how many active serial killers do you think are out there?
Right. Zero. Now?
Zero. You're wrong. I thought you were going to go much higher than that.
I was going to go zero, or I was going to go up to 20.
Well, right now, this is the FBI. They estimate that it's somewhere between 25 and 50 active serial killers out there right now. The good news is that number's going down for a number of reasons. Like, it's harder to evade arrest than it used to be in the 80s. But that means if you run into someone on the street, at most, that means there's a 1 in 6,000,000 or 520,000 chance that they're a serial killer.
Wow.
So the chances are pretty low. That's what I'm trying to say.
Except if you do.
Yeah.
Then the chances are very high.
Yes. Like 100%.
Yeah.
So the serial killers peaked in the 70s and 80s. Like, the highest body count was in the 80s. But like I said, they continued to drop. But it begs the question, where do serial killers come from? Why were they so pervasive in the 80s and now they're not?
So you can almost say serial killing was popular in the 80s. It was the heyday. That's horrible.
It was the golden age of serial killings.
Yeah.
But there's not like a direct question or direct answer to the question, where do serial killers come from? So I'm going to ask you, John, where do serial killers come from?
They didn't smoking of cigarettes as a baby. Freud, I don't know, some kind of Freud.
Freudian thing?
Yeah, sometimes a baby's just got to smoke a cigarette. Didn't he say that?
Yeah, I don't think he said that.
Sometimes smoking a cigarette's just smoking a cigarette, you know?
Yeah.
It's Freud.
I think that's Freud.
I forgot to cite the dash.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of criminologists trying to figure out what makes serial killers tick. And broadly speaking, I personally think that there are two things that a serial killer has to have. And the first one is that they are either a psychopath or a sociopath, and they experience some sort of psychosis, which sounds similar, but they're two very different things, as I'll explain to you. But do you know what the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath are?
One has more social media followers.
The one's an influencer.
Yeah, one's a hashtag influencer.
A lot of people get these terms confused.
But can I be real for a sec?
Yeah.
That was a joke, but probably.
Well, it's kind of like
like the Fry Festival.
Yeah. So I also want to say up top that when I was researching this, just because the way that the term psychopath and sociopath are thrown around, I thought they'd be some sort of like derogatory term, but that's like actually what people use in the field of study when they describe people that suffer from psychopathy. They call them psychopaths, which is, I'm just going to keep using that term. Sorry.
Who are you apologizing to?
Psychopaths. But they don't care, as we'll find out. So psychopaths,
now you're stereotyping them.
I know, but they, like I said, they won't care, and you'll find out why in a second. So psychopaths and sociopaths are like two circles on a Venn diagram, and they have a lot in common. So in the middle of that Venn diagram, this is from a Dr. Scott Bahn. He says that they both share
Scott Bahn. What's his name?
Scott Bahn.
Okay.
Dr. Scott Bahn.
Cool.
Is there a joke in there somewhere?
Other people will get it.
Okay. Scott Bahn? Scott Bahn. Bahn Scott?
Just keep going.
So he says that they share a disregard for laws and social mores, a disregard for the rights of others, a failure to feel remorse or guilt, and a tendency to display violent behavior. So all of those are shared between psychopaths and sociopaths. He goes on to explain that the difference between the two is that sociopaths can still feel emotions. Like, they, for instance, might grow attached to someone or something, like an animal or a person or a place or any number of things. He basically says that if a sociopath commits a murder, it'll be botched and poorly executed.
Like a stalker would be a sociopath.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
A psychopath, on the other hand, they do not feel emotions. Like, that is not their default state. Nor do they feel empathy for others. Psychopaths are more manipulative than sociopaths, and they play a long con. Dr. Bahn says that they're usually higher in intelligence, but, like, who knows? So psychopaths are more manipulative. They plan out like their attack, and their goal is to get what they want from other people because they don't care about anyone else. They don't have that empathy there.
Yeah. I want to oversimplify it in my mind.
Yeah.
There's a scale of emotions.
Yep.
We're in the middle.
Uh-huh.
You take all of them away, you got a psychopath.
Yeah.
You put it into overdrive to the point of stalking, you got a sociopath.
Sure. Yeah. Kind of. So this guy says that if a psychopath murders someone, it'll be very well thought out and planned. So you will see both of these become serial killers, but one will be easier to catch than the other. And while we're here talking about it, there is a big debate out there whether mental disorders like psychopathy or sociopathy are genetic or from the environment. So basically nature versus nurture. And as you might expect, no one knows. And it seems to be a mixture of the two, because some people think the reason that we had so many serial killers in the 70s and 80s was because they were children of World War II vets. Back with like PTSD and treated their children poorly. We'll get into some myths about serial killers' upbringings in a little bit, so I'll just leave that where it's at right now. But you also see a lot of serial killers who were tossed around from foster home to foster home when they were kids, which is difficult for your childhood. There are also parts... So then you look at like Jeffrey Dahmer and Ted Bundy. They grew up in seemingly normal homes with healthy parents. Like they weren't tossed from foster home. By all accounts, their parents didn't abuse them or anything like that. So then that's where you bring in what might be genetic, which is scientists think the psychopathy could be the result of reduced communication between your amygdala and your ventromedial prefrontal cortex, which I know you already know what that means. Yeah. But I'm going to explain it to our audience.
Thank you. I don't want to put too much strain on my prefrontal cortex.
Right. So that part of your prefrontal cortex is supposed to interpret information from your amygdala. It's supposed to translate emotions.
Right. It tells you to kill or not to kill something.
Yes. That's where it all comes right. from. So you'd think it'd be in the bag. But the way it's supposed to work is that the amygdala receives negative stimuli from the environment, and then it's supposed to funnel through the prefrontal cortex and result in negative emotion. So you see like a dead deer on the side of the road, and you're a vegan. So you see that negative stimuli, goes through your amygdala, through your prefrontal cortex, and then you feel sad.
Joke's on you. That deer is a racist.
He was wearing a MAGA hat.
Yeah. Well,
we just got another 2-star for that comment there. But this doesn't happen as it should in psychopaths. So they see that dead deer on the side of the road and they just don't feel anything. The end. In the same article I got some of this from, there was a Dr. Barrett Brogard. I know you're going to say something about that. Brogard?
Yeah, no, I heard it.
Okay.
It's a good name.
I shouldn't have stopped then. She talks about this kind of thing, the genetic side of psychopathy. And she also says that since both of these come from a dull or lack of emotion, it could just be an issue with neurotransmitters. So it might not be a problem with your amygdala. It might just be your hormones aren't regulated correctly, something like that. She also says that it could be a degenerative brain disease causing the issue.
Oh no.
So like a early onset Alzheimer's or something.
What about that mold that like emotions gets in your and eats you? Bread mold. You hear that?
No.
I ate a guy's face or something.
Are you talking about like...
I got clickbaited 10 years ago and it stuck with me.
Well, I'm trying to think of what the scientific name for flesh-eating virus is, because I know it, I just can't think. Necrotizing fasciitis.
Oh, man. But what if there's like a viral serial killer disease out there then?
Oh, yeah. Like toxoplasmosis. You just can't detect it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my point is all of these could be genetic. We just don't know what the root cause of it. So the other thing, I said there's two things that a serial killer has to have, and that's some sort of psychosis. And do you know what psychosis is?
No, sorry, I was daydreaming. I was thinking about my new toxic plasma TV. The image is perfect.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
I get it because of cats.
Right, because they also have that
toxoplasmosis
in there.
God.
Feces.
Thanks for explaining the joke. So anyway, psychosis is when someone's sense of reality is separated from themselves. So this could be an isolated event. It could be several events. It could just be their constant way that they exist. They just don't have a good sense of reality. And it could start off as something really small, like a personality disorder, like bipolar or schizophrenia, something mm-hmm. like
that. Or being a member of a Facebook group that thinks the Earth's flat.
Some sort of psychosis, yeah.
Right.
Typically, they suffer from hallucinations or some sort of delusions when, like, a psychosis hits. And I don't think that every serial killer suffers from constant psychosis. There are, like, several killers who, like BTK, who took a 20-year break before he wanted to start killing again. And they go about their lives, and they seem to have some sort of connection to reality. BTK went on to lead Boy Scouts troop. He got married and had 3 kids. And then he got caught because he went to a library and... like taunted the police with a note on a floppy disk, and they were able to track it back to the library where he made the floppy disk.
Oh, no.
So here's an interesting, I'm probably going to get some details of this wrong, but he wanted to start up killing again, and his whole thing back in the 80s was that he would taunt the police with like handwritten notes that they couldn't trace. And when he started back up, he like wrote a letter to the police and said, I want to send you these letters on a floppy disk, but I don't know if you can trace them. And they're like, no, we can't trace those. So he went to the library, made a note on a floppy disk and sent it to them, and they found, they're like, yes, of course we can trace it. So they traced it back to, yeah.
Anyway. Wow, that was nice in the ask.
I know, what an idiot. Anyway, I think my
point... Have you heard about these floppies? You can fit like 5 notes on them.
A whole Word document.
I'll send
man.
You a whole week's worth. I'm starting to get ahead of myself here.
Yeah. So anyway...
He includes a paint file.
Yeah, picture like Ringo Starr art.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my point of that is that the psychotic breaks have to happen. They could be constant or they can be one occurrence, but there has to be some sort of psychotic break for a serial killer to do what they do, to commit a murder. And it could be so extreme, like I'd say on one end of the extreme is voices telling people to do it, or there was one guy that saw evil in people's eyes, so he'd kill them. But on the other end, it could just be that they think women are evil, so they think that women deserve to be killed. I'd say that's some sort of detachment from reality, right?
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah, it could also be that as simple as people, they don't see people as people. Like, they go around their world, and since they don't feel empathy for people, they just think that the people are like NPCs in video games.
That's like I remember having a specific thought when I was a little kid. Like, yeah. I feel like everybody does at once. Like, wait, right. Like, other people can feel things too.
Yeah, but then you grow up and you start to like interact with real people and you're like, okay, there is something in there.
Yeah, when you're like 10. But I guess there's a part of your brain that you have to like evolve to get there.
Exactly, yeah. It's just kind of a part of learning how reality works.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that, then your reality breaks down.
So babies think everyone's an NPC.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And eventually they develop empathy for other people and realize that that's not true. But I think that...
What comm level do you think Rory thinks you are for like a Super Smash level?
Usually when I ask her how old she thinks I am, she usually says 4.
Okay. So you're probably level 4. That's competitive.
That's what I'm going to go with. So it's these two things that I think allows serial killers to... In their own reality, it's okay to kill people.
Yeah.
So not all psychopaths or sociopaths or psychotics.
I hope no one clips that out of context.
Yeah, nobody out there, please.
What did you say, just for the record?
No.
You said, I'm Nick Wood and it's okay to kill people?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, psychopaths, sociopaths, or psychotics, not all of them commit murders. But all of these things piling together, mental disorders, traumatic childhoods, whatever, can certainly open the door to them becoming a serial killer. And I don't know about you, and I can't speak for our listeners. Maybe we have a serial killer listening. I almost said serial kisser because I, anyway.
Ooh. Wow.
So, anyway, I find it hard to put myself in the mind of a serial killer. And you might be wondering, why do serial killers do what they do? Wonder it out loud for me right now.
Okay. Can you add echo to it?
Yeah.
Why do serial killers do what they do? Did I unplug the coffee machine? Why is Nick just staring at me? Can everyone hear this?
John's a psychopath. Well, John, I have an answer for you. I have an article from Vox. They put together some great data from a Radford University serial killer database. And at the time they did this article, it had... It spanned from the year 1900 to now, and it included 3,019 serial killers. So do you want to guess the biggest reason that a serial killer kills? Number one. Yes.
To satisfy an impulse.
Sure, I'll give it to you. It's enjoyment.
There you go.
They just do it to enjoy themselves. That's 31.8% of the reason. Number two, do you want to take a wild guess?
Because they have to. They feel compelled. They don't want...
I don't know where I would put that, but I wouldn't say that this... Number two is financial gain. It's 30.1%.
Oh, yeah. You could just take their stuff, right?
Exactly, yeah. Like the Craigslist killer, he only killed one person, but he committed 3 robberies off of prostitutes. That was his motivation. So right there, those two are above 60% of the reason why serial killers kill. After that, number three is anger at 18.1%. And then number four, they gave multiple reasons for why they committed their murders at 9.8%. The least... common reasons. Number 8 was hallucinations at 0.7%. 9 was convenience at 0.6%. And then the least common reason was they were seeking attention at 0.5%. So, like, again, you go back to that idea of the sexy serial killer. Like, they're taunting the police because they want to be all over the news and all that stuff. That's incredibly uncommon.
So, okay, let's put it into terms that make a little bit more sense if we were in a more just world.
Mm-hmm.
You say the term sexy serial killer, which, like, it sounds normal because we've seen so many documentaries.
Exactly, yeah.
But now say sexy child molester.
Disgusting. I shouldn't have taken a drink of water when you said that.
So but what's the difference, really?
Yeah.
Taking someone's life.
It's what it is.
Taking a child's life.
The sexy pedophile. No. That's not a thing.
We should feel the same way about saying sexy serial killer.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't, just because society is the way it is.
Yeah.
And let's work to change that, John. You and me. Vox had a few other fun stats. Do you want to take a guess at the top 3 methods of murder that serial killers use?
Asphyxiation.
That is number 2. A strangulation at 21.7%.
All right.
How about the other two?
I mean, it's going to be stabbing and guns, right?
Exactly, yeah. So number 1 is guns at 43%, and stabbing was 14.8%. Do you want to guess whether more women or more men are victims of serial killers?
Oh, I'm going to say more women are victims.
More women, technically, yes, but it's sort of a myth because everyone's like, oh my God, it's always women, but it's kind of an even split. It's 48.6% men and 51.4% women. So slightly more women than men.
Better watch out. We're catching up.
Now,
it's awful.
I will tell you that there are more men that are serial killers, but do you want to take a guess at the percentage?
60?
92.3%.
Jeez.
Right?
That was my first guess. Was it where I just
way higher? And then I had to do a little bit of my own math, but using the same database, it was a little bit more updated. I figured out that the average serial killer has 2.7 victims. So just like one arm.
Do you think that's more like a case-by-case basis? Because society wants men to be more aggressive? Or do you think that it's actual a genetic thing that affects men more?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what maybe the answer to that is. I will say this wasn't in my data, but apparently more women will use poison, and that might just be more of the opportunity.
It seems like stereotypes.
Right.
But
it's just stats,
unfortunately.
Stats aren't always right, of course, but just trying to paint the picture for you of your average serial killer.
Because if you could tie that to suicide stats, and it's similar.
Oh, you can get stats to say anything you want.
No, but I'm saying when you think about what's the most common way for a man to kill himself, it's a gun.
Oh, yeah.
And most common way for a woman to kill herself is pills or something, from what I understand. So it seems like it lines up with that, which is weird.
It is. I understand that. But anyway, now we got to talk about how serial killers blend in. Because, like, BTK was able to get away with it for 30 years. Ted Bundy was able to kill 30 people by the time he was done. I should say women, not just people. And I gave all of that background to show you the mind of a serial killer, but now we need to answer the question, how do they blend in?
Right, which is the most important question we've got, because this episode's sponsored by Ninja.
A Ninja or Ninja?
Ninja Blenders. They've got the bullet blender.
I was trying to think of a joke.
No, this is real.
We'll blend you right
up. We're going to pitch it to them after.
All right.
As long as this is done tastefully.
It's not. So the answer is remarkably simple. There's this expert out there who's named Dr. Robert Hare, and I've been reading a lot of articles about him, some books that he's written and interviews that he's participated in. And he's the one that came up with the psychopathy checklist, PCL-R, which if you want to know more about that, you can go listen to our bonus episode next month at patreon.com/flyingmachine. For $5 a month, get our bonus episode, and we try to figure out whether John and I are psychopaths.
I was gonna just say your teeth almost literally sparkled.
Yeah.
And then I heard it, and I was like,
"Heard it."
Yeah.
So anyway, he came up with the PCLR, which is basically what it is a bunch of questions that you answer to see if someone's a psychopath. And he points out that there are psychopaths all around us. They are, like, we work with them, they're on the street, but most of the time they are harmless. Most of the time they're not a serial killer, especially if there's only 25 to 50 of them active out there at any given time. Like, the most harm that they'll ever do is they might take advantage of you once or twice. Sometimes they'll manipulate you. Some will garner your trust and abuse it.
Wow. Is this U.S. Bank? Or is this a
No, it's Wells Fargo.
Okay. It is Wells Fargo, yeah. Overdraft fees.
They'll make... I forget what they did. So, anyway, some will use that trust to kill you. And the best way that they do this is by studying other people and then becoming a chameleon. And I almost hate to say this, but you've seen Dexter, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like. In the first, like, couple episodes, it's like an incredible character study because he explicitly says, I'm dating this woman because that's what people do. Not because I love her, but because I need to blend in.
Yeah.
And I found this woman. Like, that's how they go about their lives. They say, this is what people do, so I will do this to appear normal.
People do that still when they're not serial killers, with having babies, getting married, having kids.
Sure.
Because they think they're a certain age.
Yeah. Like, they just think that that's the right way to do things.
Yeah. But, and I'm just saying, overall, my message is, you do you, boo.
Yeah. However.
Don't kill people.
Don't kill people. These people, like, when I talk about psychopaths, though, these people will quickly identify who you as a normal person are, what your goals are, what your insecurities are, and then they will use that to, one, become the ideal person for you, and two, exploit your insecurities. So if we go back to Ted Bundy, he would wear a cast to look vulnerable, and then women would be like, oh, are you okay? And then he'd throw them in his van and drive off.
Yeah, it's the same gross stuff that dudes lie about to get girls to sleep with them.
Yeah, I could give countless examples.
But then he kills you instead.
Right. But, like, it's not, like, they just flip a switch. So do you want someone who's confident? Then they flip the confidence switch on. Do you want someone who's frail and weak? Then they'll put on a cast. Like, the whole, like, nurse syndrome or whatever. Baby birds and I don't know what it's called. But to prove it, there was a study done at the University of Amsterdam by Dr. Christian Kaisers. Kaisers? Kaisers. They took a bunch of convicted psychopaths and showed them a video of people hurting each other, which I read that and I just think of, like, America's Funniest Home Videos. They're just, like, hitting each other and that's with bats. But while they're doing that, they looked at their brain activity and they saw zero empathy within their brain activity.
Wow. So, how do you end that study and say, okay, well, here's your Chips Ahoy and juice.
Yeah.
Have fun. I'm going to release you to the world again.
Being the evil person that Kaisers is, he had an idea. He said, I'm going to show you this video again, but this time, try to feel some empathy. And lo and behold, they felt empathy because what they did was they said, this is what you want. I'm going to flip that switch on and all of a sudden I can feel empathy because that's what I want. The problem is it's just not their default state to feel that empathy until you tell them to do it.
Oh, man.
So...
Tell them right now, Nick. Tell the serial killers to stop.
Everybody, have empathy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, when you ask FBI agents about a serial killer profile, they say it's incredibly hard to find serial killers because they just seem so plain and vanilla that they just fill in with the masses.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. So... to paint the picture of what some serial killers have done to blend in, before we go to break, and after the break, I've got a game for you. I didn't tell you about this beforehand. We got a game today.
Okay.
I want to profile how some famous serial killers appeared so boring that they evaded capture for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So there was BTK, we kind of talked about him. He ended up killing 10 women before he was caught. He was married with 2 kids. He was also a local government official. He was a president of his church, a Boy Scout leader, and had served honorably in the U.S. Air Force.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Totally plain. And then we have Robert Yates. He ended up killing 17 prostitutes. He was married with 5 kids and was at one point a U.S. Army National Guard helicopter pilot. Gary Ridgway, he was the Green River Killer. He had gone through 3 marriages, which isn't super great.
Are these guys all military?
That's one myth that, like, serial killers are ex-military, but no. I think it's just those 2 that I have on this list. But Gary Ridgway had 3 marriages. He was a truck painter for 32 years and deeply religious. Like, he went to church every Sunday, talked to his coworkers about religion. Very religious man. Ted Bundy, of course, we got to talk about him. He killed anywhere between 30 and 40 women. He admitted to 30, but people think it was more like 40. He worked for a suicide hotline, showed up on the dating game, and worked in local politics. Normal-ass dude. He's just a little creepy.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer, he ended up killing 16 men and boys. He lived with his mom for a long time and was actually active in the gay right community. The Craigslist killer, I talked about him before. He only killed 1 person but committed 3 robberies on prostitutes on Craigslist. He was still in school, but he was part of, like, a mock trial or youth court or something like that, and was part of the National Honor Society at his school.
Man, I wonder if his Imagine if his students grew up to prosecute him, what kind of movie that would be.
It's the ultimate twist. Yeah. And then the last one I have on my list is John Wayne Gacy. He killed 33 teenage boys and young adults, and he was just a shoe salesman and a children's party clown.
I wonder if he actually skewed the results to make it more even 50-50 with 33 children? Because what do you say? There's only 25 active serial killers right now, probably, yeah. Maybe.
At a minimum, yeah.
And this guy killed 33 males.
Yeah.
And you said the split was near 50-50?
Oh, yeah, near 50-50, yeah. What a jerk.
He skewed the results. Yeah. Well, I think these are terrible. And let's also bring to light that we understand that these are real human lives that were lost.
Yeah,
and
these people don't.
Yeah. Well, no, not just that, but even, like, there's a tendency to ignore that when you glamorize serial killing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As soon as you romanticize a serial killer, you've forgotten about the victim. So that's probably the most disgusting part.
Right, so that's why I wanted to bring that up again, because, yeah, we told jokes throughout this and all that, but we understand that true crime doesn't mean that, like, because of the passage of time that, whatever, like,
yeah.
They're faceless.
Yeah, it's, all serial killers are losers, and I used to listen to true crime a lot, and I podcast a lot, and I kind of stopped for the most part because, like, after a while they start every episode with, like, this person was murdered and they were, like, in college with a 4.0 grade point average and they were interning at 7 different places and they fostered 900 kittens at once and, like, all these great things that this person did, and then their life has just ended, and that is the worst part of true crime.
Yeah,
it just, I think people often forget about,
you get hit with that constantly. But the other thing, like, even then, there's a show called Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix,
yeah,
that I started watching.
Yeah,
because I saw two vague Facebook posts that said, oh my god, I can't believe this family. So I was interested, and I saw, check it out.
Yeah,
I got halfway through and was like, this is, everything's going horribly.
Yeah,
everyone's suffering.
Yeah,
why am I doing this? And I turned it off, and I think I watched, like, Adventure Time or something.
Something a little bit happier.
I was like, I can't, I don't know. I mean, I understand that people get some stuff from that, but
yeah, well, I think it's definitely,
it was the most extreme version of tragedy porn that I've seen.
Yeah,
where it's just, like, digging into the details.
Yeah, and it's real. It's not someone writing this out. It's, yeah, like, yeah. Anyway, should we take a quick break now that I brought everyone down?
Yeah.
All right. If you would be so kind, you can support our show by going to patreon.com/flyingmachine, and you could support us for as little as $1 a month. That'll get you stuff like live streams, or if you want to kick a little bit more, $5 a month will get you a bonus episode from every show on the network.
Yep. Nick and I actually did, just before this, personality tests or psychopath tests to see if we were psychopathic.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Yeah.
We took a test to figure it out. I'm not going to tell you what
that's
the results,
right,
are.
Spoilers. It was a number between 0 and 40, which is the maximum number.
So if you're a new listener, you might be sitting there and thinking, why would I go to patreon.com/flyingmachine if I'm listening to strangers still? Well.
And it's free.
And yeah, why would I pay for it?
What, am I a goofus?
Well, first of all, we're part of the Flying Machine Network. Which
do you think I'm an idiot? It's free.
Yeah, I think you're an idiot.
Okay. But, why would I want to pay for this?
Well, because not only do you support the network that we're a part of, which has amazing shows like Divisive Issues, Pot Stirrer Podcast, Falling in Love Montage, Short, Colorful, and Loud. These are all great shows that you could be listening to and supporting, but we get to upgrade our equipment that we have here. Mm-hmm. We can buy some cameras and do video stuff, and it's not that expensive. I mean, I know that people don't have that much money just laying around, but, like, if you got it and you like our show, it would mean the world to us.
Right, and if you're not, you're probably a sociopath.
Well,
if you don't do it,
if you're just gonna lay it out there like that, I wasn't gonna say it,
I'm some people, you know, you gotta dig into. I didn't do the research, you did.
Yeah,
but I think if you don't, there's
you
something wrong.
100%. You scored a 40 on the psychopath test. So, John, I got some early signs of a serial killer. I went to Crime Museum.
You searched that. You didn't get diagnosed with that.
No. Yeah, I searched
okay.
It. So I went to crimemuseum.org and a couple other places to see what they had listed as early signs that someone might be a serial killer. And I've got 10 here that may or may not be real. And I just need to tell you if it's a real early sign of a serial killer, or I just made it up, or my wife made it up. I had her help me.
Okay, great.
Because I wasn't feeling original.
Just put on some theme music. I want some game show songs.
All right.
I should write one, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you probably should. Mm. That'd be great. But for now, I'll just use some royalty-free game show music.
Thanks for giving me the night off.
So the first one I have here, Small acts of arson.
Oh, yeah.
You think that's true?
Oh, yeah. Small acts of arson?
You're right.
That's right.
That is right. I should raise the stakes on this. How about if you get less than 5 right, then you have to make me a theme song for the segment.
Oh, man. People are going to know the answer because there's already royalty-free music. You're going to find out at the end if I wrote this or not.
Yeah.
Okay, deal. All
right. Number 2. Torturing small animals.
True.
Yeah, I started you off pretty easy here. Mm-hmm. Maybe let's kick it up to 6.
Oh, no.
Number 3, they're prone to challenging authority.
Prone to challenging authority. Mm-hmm. Will make you a serial killer.
Well, it's just an early sign that someone might become a serial killer. If they're just like, no, Mr. First Grade Teacher, I hate you. Don't tell me what
True.
To do.
Acting out.
Incorrect.
Oh.
That is not a sign of...
But you're acting out as a child. That was on the psychopath test.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't on their list. Number 4. They are prone to wetting the bed.
Prone to wetting the bed.
Yeah.
You're looking at me like, oh, I'm gonna get him. But this is actually true, Nicholas.
It is true. I should clarify, it's late bedwetting, so like early.
Yeah, like 7 a.m., 9 a.m. It's fine.
Very early in the day.
But if you're gonna pee your bed at 10 p.m., you're a psychopath.
Yeah. Number 5 is they have imaginary friends.
True.
Wrong.
What?
Nope.
I don't wanna write a song.
So far you got 3. You need 3 more.
All right.
Number 6. You got 5 left, so you're fine. Number 6 is having your head in the clouds.
Like daydreaming?
Yeah, like...
Like me fantasies. All the time?
Yeah. Daydreaming. What did you daydream about earlier? I forget now.
It's my toxoplasmosis TV. Perfect image.
Anyway.
I'm going to say true.
It is true. Ding, ding, ding. You got 1 more, right? Wait, no, 2 more.
Yeah.
I can math. Shut up. I only do it for a living. Number 7 is they like to chew on their hair.
Chewing their hair. Sounds like Shelby made that one up.
Did she?
False.
It is false.
Did she make that up?
She did. I was like, what's something like bedwetting that kids would do? And she's like, oh, chewing your hair.
I was not only I correctly, I think it should count twice. I identified that you didn't write.
Look, you only need 1 left.
All right.
I don't know how to phrase this one. Number 8 is they were prone to voyeurism.
True. Because you said you didn't know how to phrase it, so you didn't write it.
How do you know I didn't write it?
Because you didn't know how to phrase it.
Yeah, that's right. You don't have to write a song. How about number 9, which is shiftlessness?
Shiftlessness.
Yeah.
What's that? I've never heard that word in my life, and it's 1 word.
The way that...
Like you go to work, and you're just like, I'll just work whenever I want.
Well,
man.
Kind of the opposite. It's they jump from job to job, like, no, frequently.
No schedule.
Yeah, like they just can't hold down a job, or they
False. Because they're organized psychopaths. Sociopaths would be
incorrect.
Whoa.
That's a sign. And the last one here is insomnia.
Insomnia. True.
False.
They can sleep well at night? Like little babies?
Yeah, like little babies.
Jeez.
You lucked out, though. You got 6 correct. You don't have to make a theme song.
That means whatever you just heard
was royalty free.
Was thanks to
Enjoy. Incompetech.
BenSounds.com.
Well, I've got nothing else. Do you?
Nothing.
Do you want to recap?
Yeah. Serial killers are disgusting, stupid losers,
yep.
And you shouldn't have a sexy young lad like Zac Efron.
that bunt cake.
Play him. Yeah. Although I haven't seen the movie. Maybe they played it justice.
Yet, is it?
I don't know. Well, the only reason I knew about this at all is because I watched Future Man, and the dude from The Sixth Sense, the little kid that sees dead people.
Oh, Haley Joel Osment.
Is in this movie.
Yeah. He is?
Yeah, because he kept posting his promos on Instagram, because I'm obsessed with his Instagram, because all he does is snowboard and play music.
Oh. The movie's called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile.
Right.
So let's see when this comes out. Oh, it is out. January 26th. Wow. I'm behind on the times.
I knew he was doing promos in, like, Colorado.
Well, I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.